We are this morning continuing our series on favourite Bible characters, and I'm cheating because I'm talking about not just one character, but two. I'm talking about a couple of sisters this morning. I myself am a sister. Growing up, I was one of four. I had an older brother and sister and a younger sister. And we had a great sense of justice in our family. What is fair or not fair? Because it's not fair if somebody else gets a bigger bit of cake, or if somebody else gets to stay up later just because they're a little bit older than you. And it's not fair if you have to be one of the two sitting in the back seat in the middle of the car and somebody else gets the windows. Long car journeys could be pretty uncomfortable. This was, of course, in the days when seat belts were optional extras and not compulsory as they are now. My siblings and I were not unique in squabbling. In fact, the Bible has quite a few stories of squabbling families. The very first family mentioned, Adam and Eve's eldest son, he felt that he was being unfairly treated by God, and he thought his younger brother Abel was being favoured. Cain had a somewhat extreme response to this. If you know the story, you'll know that Cain killed his brother. I'm pleased to say that my family, we never resorted to such extreme measures to dispense justice. However, fast forward several hundred years, and we're in New Testament times. And the writer Luke tells us the story of a couple of sisters, which we'll find in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, Luke doesn't tell us very much about the family here, but they're actually mentioned in all four Gospels. And when we put all the stories together, we can get quite a good picture of this family. So we know, for example, that Mary and Martha had a brother called Lazarus. We know that the village they lived in was called Bethany, and it was a couple of miles away from Jerusalem. The scholars reckon that the family was pretty wealthy. We don't know that for absolute sure, but we're pretty confident the family was very wealthy. What we do know for sure is that this family was good friends with Jesus. They weren't just followers of him, but they were friends with him. In fact, in the Gospel of John, we're told that Jesus loved this family. So here we have it. Jesus has been invited into Mary and Martha's home. And Martha, well, do you know, who doesn't empathise with Martha in this story? Who would not be aggrieved if they had invited Jesus into their home? And it doesn't say it in this passage, but the culture at the time was incredibly hospitable. You were expected to open your home. You're expected to have guests in and to treat them really well. We're not talking just Jesus. We're talking that whole heap of disciples. She has a house full of men. No wonder she wants help with the work. There's a lot of work to be done. We can sympathise with her, can't we? And I think in the way that she speaks to Jesus here, we do see that she is indeed friends with Jesus. You know, when we were kids and we thought we were being unfairly treated, we appealed to the higher authority of mum and dad, because we knew that mum and dad loved us and that we thought they would be on our side and want fairness. Martha's doing the same thing. She's appealing to the higher authority that she knows cares for her and she thinks will be on her side with fairness. So she says to him, "Don't you care? My sister has left me to do all the work by myself. Tell her to help me." I love Jesus' response here. I can almost picture him smiling as he says, "Martha, Martha," soothes her, calms her. I just love it, the gentleness that we get here. He sees her. You know, some of the commentaries on this passage talk about Jesus rebuking Martha. I don't see that, because it's not my experience of being rebuked. My experience when I mess up is of being gently corrected, of being loved and explained where I'm going wrong. And that's what I see here. Jesus doesn't tell Martha to shut up, don't bother me, I'm important and too busy for this. He listens to her and he teaches her. Martha, he says, you are worried and upset about many things. And the concept that we have here, the words used, are the same as we have a couple of chapters earlier when Jesus is telling the story of the parable of the seed that fell on different ground. If we flip back a couple of chapters, we'll find that story in chapter 8. Jesus often used parables or stories to explain things to his disciples, but they weren't always immediately understood, and sometimes he had to explain them to them. And in this one, he had told a parable about seed falling on different ground. And as he explained it to his disciples, he told them, the seed is the word of God. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. There is much in our lives that we can be anxious about. Whether it's schoolwork, exams, work pressure, relationships, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, or parents, finances, health, there is no shortage of things that we can be anxious about today. And as for distractions, well, for you guys in Blast, this will be, I think, almost impossible to imagine. But when I was your age, maybe that's impossible to imagine, it was a very long time ago, but when I was a teenager, we had 4 television channels. Now, John disagreed with me on this, and he said we only had 3. But he's older than me, and I remember 4. I have no idea how many television channels we have available to us today. Never mind Netflix, box sets, Facebook, internet, sports. There's no end of things that can distract us today. Not bad things in themselves, but they can be a distraction from spending time with Jesus. And indeed, sometimes, like Martha, it can be serving Jesus, church activities, charity work, that can distract us from spending time with Jesus. So back to the story. What was the better thing that Mary did? She chose to focus on Jesus. It was a choice. She chose to focus on Jesus. Martha wasn't wrong in serving. That is expected of us. In fact, before the story of Mary and Martha, we have the story of the Good Samaritan. It is expected that our love for Jesus will be demonstrated in serving. But Martha had got her priorities wrong. She knew Jesus was the Messiah. We learned that in one of the other Gospels. She had the Messiah in her home, and she wasn't listening to him. She was that busy preparing food. One of my favourite things to do is to have dinner with John, particularly when he cooks, because he's a better cook and I can't be bothered with cooking. And he makes nicer food and makes it look nice. And I love sitting down, spending an evening with John, having dinner. It would be no fun for me if he was so busy making my favourite food and making it all look nice that he never sat down opposite me and we didn't actually talk. That would be no fun whatsoever. It's the spending time with him that I love. And like Mary, we need to make the choice to prioritise spending time with our Father. It won't happen automatically. In fact, complete confession here, even this morning, so anxious about giving a message. Did I spend any time alone with God before I came out this morning? You know, it's so easy to be distracted even by good things. However, there is something else happening here in this story that we might easily miss. You remember that I told you Mary and Martha had a brother? They had Lazarus. Lazarus was probably among the disciples sitting at Jesus' feet. when Martha makes her complaint to Jesus, does she say, get Mary and Lazarus to help me? No. Why not? He's a man. And the culture at the time didn't expect men to be serving. Men were important. Women were not. Not remotely what God had intended when he created Adam and Eve. Society had turned it upside down, and we have men in authority, and women, in some respects, almost be treated as possessions, not even second-class citizens in some situations. So there was, from Martha, no expectation that her brother Lazarus or any of the guys should be helping her. I've told you I really empathize with Martha. I really do. I get Martha. Boy, do I admire Mary. The courage Mary had to sit at the feet of Jesus when the cultural expectations around her and the expectations of the people that she was with was that she should be doing something else. And she chose to prioritize being with Jesus. Wow. I really admire that courage to make the right choice and then to have the courage to follow through on it. And I think we too need that courage, because it's not always easy to prioritize spending time with God. We will be often surrounded by people who don't understand that choice and might not be supportive of it. We too need the courage. But how do we do it? Because let's face it, it's not always easy to spend time alone with our Father. I've struggled to do this my entire Christian life, to carve out the time and to make sure I do it. I think it's not coincidence that the very next passage after the story of Mary and Martha is the disciples asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. Now, you remember, the disciples were living with Jesus. They've been with him for a long time now. They're 24/7 following the teacher. And they have seen him often withdraw to go by himself, to be alone with his Father. We're told countless times in the Gospels that Jesus did this. And the disciples are aware of Jesus doing this, and they'll be aware of the difference it makes to Jesus to go and be alone with his Father and to come back. I mean, we can just imagine, can't we? Jesus, sometimes we're just so tired, and Jesus will have been the same, and he just needed to be alone with his Father, just being restored, just being empowered. And the disciples saw him doing this, and they wanted to know, how did they do it too? So they asked him, teach us how to pray. I'm not going to go into this in great detail, because we are going to be looking at the book of Luke in the coming year, and we'll be covering it. But just to say, do you know, if there's anybody here who is not in the habit of spending time alone with our Father, their Father, then can I encourage you? Give it a go, because it is the thing that makes the difference for us. Even if it's just starting with 10 minutes a day, carve 10 minutes out where you can be alone somewhere, you and God. And you could use this prayer that Jesus gave as a starting point for your prayers with our Father. Now, we often recite it, but actually when Jesus gave it, it was to be a model prayer. So we can start by just acknowledging who God is and what he's done in creation and in our lives. We can bring our daily needs to him. Any work trouble, any relationship issues that we're struggling with, we can bring them to God on a daily basis. All of us mess up daily. We need daily forgiveness. We need to daily come to God and just say, I'm sorry. And we know, because we've been promised, that that forgiveness is there for us. And all of us get hurt by other people, intentionally or otherwise. And we all need to constantly be in a place where we are extending forgiveness to. We can daily come to our Father and get the resource, the help, the strength to do that. Jesus continues his teaching and saying, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And again, This is a constant, a daily. It's not a one-off every now and then come and say, hi, God, da-da-da. This is a daily seeking, being with God, pursuing God, that Jesus is encouraging us to do. I think all of us who have decided that we want to follow Jesus, we want our lives to be good soil. We want to be mature and fruitful. We want to be those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. I think, don't we? So what can we learn from this story of Mary and Martha? Well, it wasn't Martha's serving that was wrong. It was her priorities. And our starting point needs to be seeking God, his direction. And sometimes that will mean we need the courage of Mary to go against culture and expectations. Last week, John Stevens spoke on Ezekiel and the courage he needed to proclaim the message that God had given him to say. So if we are going to be mature and fruitful, then we need to prioritize time with our Father. We need to hear what he is saying to us through his word or directly to us. And we'll need to fight for that time with him. Let's pray. Father, I find it just incredible that your word, the way that your word speaks to us today, that a story about two sisters 2,000 years ago in the Middle East can apply to us today and that we can learn from it, I just find amazing. So, Father, I just ask that you would help us here to hear your voice and then have the courage to act on whatever it is you tell us to do. Help us to mature, to be fruitful, and to be a blessing to those around us. Amen.